Hello there, this is episode 62 of the Van Hemlock Podcast, Sword of the New World and Runes of Magic.
And welcome to the last show.
What?
Oh, sorry, last show before the summer break.
Yes.
We're going on tour.
Big summer road show. Hurrah. Looking forward to that immensely, mostly because this studio is just too hot.
So we're going to the beach.
Yes, into direct sunlight and such like. Yes. Anyway, hello.
Hello.
On with some news.
If we must. First of all, Yes, Ultima Online 2.
Ultima Online 2? Wow, let's just wind the clock back to 2003.
Oh, it's today. They're going to release a new version of Ultima in China.
Yes, saw that little snippet of news. It's quite remarkable.
They're making a new Ultima game.
Yeah, a new MMO based on the license of Ultima. So that'll be interesting. Presumably quite a PvP-centric experience.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Mm. It's interesting that it's going over there, and obviously we don't have a big enough market over here to support making it.
It's a strange one. I mean, there was talk of an Ultima Online 2 back in the day, but it sort of futtered about and then disappeared, really, didn't it?
It's changed into many, many daft things that
went away. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the whole thing's going to be resurrected, probably under new development ship by... Does it say who? Presumably EA is involved because they got the license right
away. Yes. Yes, somebody's going to develop a brand new Ultima game.
Excellent. So I imagine we'll probably be able to get in and have a look if we really want to.
I would also imagine...
Purely for the Far East.
It's not going to be aimed at your average WoW fan.
No, it'll be...
It'll probably be very aimed at the market.
Yeah, not something we'd be familiar with, I don't imagine. Still, that'd be... 2 or 3 years away at the earliest, I'd have thought, anyway.
Maybe. It doesn't say that... All it says is that it's going to happen. Doesn't mean that that isn't the reason why Ultima Online 2 was cancelled in the first place, does it?
Could be some sort of long game.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No release date yet, but... it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, I mean, Ultima Online isn't actually dead. It's still going. Every so often you'll see a little snippet of news come up almost under the wire about some latest expansion or thing that they're going to be adding to Ultima Online at present. But pretty much off many people's radar these days. So it'll be interesting to see if the sequel can gain traction. But an entirely new and different market, so worth a go.
Yeah. Okay, moving on.
What we got?
2 a.m. this morning, I got an email from someone.
Hey! I never sleep. News never sleeps, you see.
Yeah, I wasn't really asleep.
No, well, I just finished, we were playing Guild Wars a bit yesterday, till quite late, and I sort of just checked me Google Mail before logging off and going to bed, and got a note from Sony, from Station Pass people.
Did you have a massive panic the moment you saw it like I did, thinking, they've done it?
Well, yeah, I mean, just the little first line of text that appears in the mail browser said something.
Palisade customer service notification.
Yeah, and I just thought, oh, here we go, this is it, game over. No, what it turns out to be is that they are finally doing the big merge for the two remaining servers.
Going to piss off 14 people.
Well, yes, the existing Verna... It's pronounced Verna, but spelt Werner, you see, European. I'm quite cosmopolitan, I am. Anyway, he's being merged into Gemini, which is itself the result of the merger of Emerald and Corhai, I think, which are the two US servers. Anyway, the practical upshot of it all is that at the end of August, there will be only one planet-side server.
There's nowhere left to go after that.
Well, quite. If further reductions and downsizing are required, it basically means turning off the game, so... Yeah, I imagine this will pick up the news quite a bit, and there'll be lots of commentary and discussion on it. But I do think it is a bit of a red herring because I'm recently signed up to play Planetside just on a whim, and logged into Verna and found that my little guy was a tenth of the entire online primetime army. So Verna is effectively dead already, and this is merely a bookkeeping exercise. I think
I'm moving over the higher ranked characters.
Yeah, this would be good for me because I do have a BR23 character on Verna, and because there's no one else there to play, I've had to go off to Gemini to actually roll up newbies to start playing again so that I can actually get a game. So, I mean, the bulk of the email was bookkeeping details about how they're going to deal with duplicate character names, that kind of thing. You'll get a hyphen W or a hyphen G on the end if you've got a matched name, that sort of thing, and you'll get a rename option. All of that sort of stuff, nothing revolutionary there. That's what happens when any server merges.
Yeah.
But it means I'll get my big high-level character back, which will be good. So, and I think a lot of people who used to play on Verna and had to abandon characters with a lot of time and effort put into them will see this as a great move because it means they'll get those back. They'll be merged into the population on the Gemini server and suddenly a great many players will get a great many boosts back to where they used to be. So that'll be interesting. There's special merits on available if you were a veteran of the deceased server. I mean, one of my characters on Gemini used to be on Emerald. I created it ages ago, and you get a special little merit badge you can display to show that you were a veteran of the old server. I think it'll be good, but I don't think it'll make a huge amount of difference, to be honest. It just makes things a little less complicated for new people rolling up to the game and seeing two servers, which do I pick, and not knowing that one of them is effectively dead.
It all comes down to whether or not we've got a critical mass of players in there who aren't going to quit anytime soon.
Yeah. And I mean, there'll be people saying, oh, it'd be great, you get all the people from Verna in there and we'll get big fights again. I don't think that's going to be the case.
You've got all the people.
You already have all the people that were on Verna, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but it is quite a public, I don't know, a server merge. Yes, it can be taken as a sort of sign of failure, as a sign of diminishment.
I don't think they're worried about that with PlanetSide anymore.
I think PlanetSide's well below most people's radars
anyway. They can legitimately turn around and say, we've done what we set out to do. The game has been around for, was it 5-6 years now?
They're all 6-year merits, yeah.
They can say, yes, the game has run its course.
It must almost certainly paid for itself, development costs by now. So, yeah, I mean, it's all just bonus now, and if it falls below a certain point, then perhaps that's the end and a way to bow out gracefully.
What I'm expecting is to see PlanetSide players get offered to be in the Mag Beta.
Yeah, it's a logical sort of extension. Huxley, if that comes along, has a reputation. Well, it has a reputation of vaporware, but it's broadly supposed to be a similar kind of experience. I mean, I always thought Tabula Rasa was meant to be a kind of PlanetSide experience, but it turned out to be something quite different, really. I think Global Agenda is going to be another possible future home for PlanetSide players, although that is 10v10 instance.
Global
fighting.
Agenda is a lot more like Call of Duty style, Halo style.
Sort of lobby thing, yeah. I mean, for the sheer scale of PlanetSide, I think, yeah, Mag might be your best bet. And try and find some reliable...
Nothing comes close to Mag.
Try and find your reliable, persistently held servers for it.
Yeah. No, the servers will be supplied by Sony, so...
Oh, okay. So perhaps that might be the next incarnation. But, to be honest, though, PlanetSide's still going. It would have died a long time ago. I think this is a bookkeeping exercise, and I think it will continue to keep going because the people who are there at the moment are not the sort that quit easily. Yes. Let's put it that way. So, final bit of bookkeeping there, and I think now we're into the final stage of PlanetSide's life. But how long that'll be? Well, I wouldn't really want to guess because, as you say, it's difficult
guess.
To... I'm going to guess at 2 years, because I think many of the people who are still there at the moment are quite invested in it and will just keep playing and playing. But having actually, yeah, I mean, not wanting to divert too much off onto what we're playing, but I've been seeing a lot of hacking in there in the last couple of weeks, and I think that is going to be one of the reasons it will die. It will consume itself. Because
people have just realised that there's absolutely no customer service support in there. Nobody's checking for these stuff. Nobody's chasing us.
I don't know. I think that's a bit unfair. I mean, the appeal process isn't easy. You type /appeal and it basically opens up a browser, which actually crashes on mine. I don't think it works with Firefox or something. But yeah, you're supposed to fill in a form on a website and eventually somebody may get back to it and look into the problem. But I've seen Cone of Fire hacks where weapons that are supposed to be quite floaty and difficult to hit with end up with lightning precision narrowed down Cone of Fire even while running and jumping and stuff, and that's all client side. I've seen rate of fire hacks. Those are terrible. I was in a gun turret and some guy some max on a hill just opened fire and emptied his entire clip in under a second, which I just thought, no way. You cannot physically fire click the button that fast, so I don't know what was going on there, but
he
destroyed a wall turret in about 3 seconds from full health, and I just thought, no, that ain't right. And yeah, I've seen Reavers, you know, the flying plane things with the rockets. I've seen them teleporting about and stuff. It's not endemic, but it happens enough to make me think, screw this, I'm off. And I have logged off in disgust when at the receiving end of something I know that shouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
And if that happens to enough people enough times, it will destroy the game. But perhaps it's partly responsible for why the game's in such a bad state already.
Possibly.
Yes. Oh, well. Keeping an eye on it. Anyway, I'm still playing it, of course, so I'll perhaps gauge some of the mood from within the game, and I'll be looking forward to getting my BR-23 sniper guy back.
I predict when we do our show 100, these are the games we lost in the last year piece, that it will be on the list.
Maybe. It was always on the borderline. I mean, Matrix Online was less popular, and that went, so yeah. Sony do close stuff.
Yeah. Moving on. Well, actually, this is just as
pressing. Yes, whilst we're on the subject.
There's a rumour going around that unless Stargate Worlds gets its financing in place by August the 1st, they get the rug pulled out from under them.
Oh, okay. Where are we attributing this rumour from?
It's coming from a recently departed employee, and I've got this report from Massively.
Fair enough. Well, that doesn't surprise me, to be honest. I mean, it was always going to be a question of when rather than if, I think.
I'd
written it off.
I haven't expected this game to actually get finished.
You hear almost nothing in the past 6 months about this game except dubious tales of financial woe. And, you know, very little in the way of, look, here's our new zone, or look at these classes, you know, and that kind of thing. The usual sort of steady feed of information you expect. I mean, look at Tor, for example, you're constantly getting little stories coming from them about bounty
hunters.
And
that's not coming out till 2020 or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's these hype cycles, marketing programs, have a very specific schedule to them. You know, you can track them game by game, and you know the ones that are doing it right because they'll be releasing enough information to keep people interested, but not giving away too much.
Yeah,
but from Stargate, nothing for, I don't know, I can't remember the last, here are some fantastic screenshots of a new zone we've made. I mean, I remember seeing something like that, but it was a while ago.
Oh, I don't think we've seen
and
much
it's all
since
gone
March.
into stealth mode, really, but perhaps not on purpose.
Yeah. Talking of Tor,
yeah,
did you see the video?
No, I still haven't seen the video. I really ought to. I don't know why I'm avoiding Tor information and news. I mean, it's not a prejudice. I'm just
even saying people are hyping
already.
It up, saying that it's going to be great.
perhaps Star Wars Galaxies pre-NGE was always the game for me.
Because I feel like
I don't want to be hurt again.
I feel like I'm pointing out the Emperor's got no clothes on whenever I point at the graphics, saying they're not that great, you know. God, the character models are awful.
Right. You're not impressed with it. But I thought they're deliberately going for a stylized look.
Well, they can go for that style if they want. I don't think it's the best choice.
Yeah.
The problem I've got is, yep, you look at these videos, they look like, say, a four-year-old console game,
yeah,
and then you compare it against Mass Effect or BioShock or any of the modern console games.
I'm still
or
blown
PC
away by
games.
BioShock, yeah, Mass
and
Effect.
They just
well.
Look order of magnitude better. And
yeah,
okay, you can say
well,
that.
Well, we get, yeah, it's the standard defence, isn't it? It's an MMO, they don't look as good as single-player games, and I don't know why.
Because it
that
means
happens.
It can run on rubbish hardware.
Case. Well, perhaps.
And yeah, you get the arguments from people saying that then I'll be able to run it on my computer. But at some stage, you've got to, I don't know, accept that maybe games have to advance graphically at some stage.
Yeah, well, it's picking the point, isn't it? I mean, could you expect your customers to have a DirectX 9C capable PC at the moment?
Yes.
Could you expect them to be able to run DirectX 10?
You could expect anyone who's bought a computer in the last 2 years to run DirectX 10 if they have Vista.
Because you need Vista and you need, yeah, this, that and the other hardware. But
every graphics card sold for the last couple of years has been DX 10.
Yeah, it's a question of where you draw the line, don't you? Because this can backfire. I mean, Age of Conan's performance woes at the early days was quite tricky. And I remember EverQuest 2 having similar problems when it launched. It was just very, very machine intensive and put a lot of people off.
Seeing how Windows 7, from the tests I've run and seen, is an awful lot faster than XP even.
But it's not generally available yet. I mean,
well,
obviously,
it's not,
you want to be designing
at all till October.
You want to be designing
for DirectX 10's adoption is going to spike after that, as people do actually upgrade.
Everyone wants to get off of Vista
because it is faster and it isn't Vista.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But then, think on the other hand, I haven't ever heard of anyone having performance problems with World of Warcraft or Guild Wars. those two games but, okay. deliberately low tech.
Yeah, but
they still managed to do very well with what
they did. Then you take the biggest selling computer game of the year, a prediction I will throw in for free.
Go on, then.
The Sims 3,
yeah.
which needs a decent graphics card.
Mm. Yeah, perhaps.
If The Sims can do it, why can't MMOs?
There are games that are good enough to force people to upgrade. It's happened to me a lot, and I'm sure you've been in the same situation. Yeah. You've played something that was really good but really slow and awful, and you think, oh, I really want to play this well.
Yeah,
and you will go out and you will go out and buy
console.
Whatever upgrades you require. Well, perhaps.
A PlayStation and a PS3.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, so.
Yes.
So, what were we talking about?
I can't remember.
Excellent. Should we move on? Let's move on then, yes. on the basis that we probably concluded whatever it is we were talking about.
I have to say, this new format for the news is working really well. We're 15 minutes in on two or three stories.
Yeah. The new in-depth news.
Yes. Go on. Yeah, we've shaken up the format a bit and it's all going horribly wrong.
Write in if you notice.
Next up, Jumpgate.
Yes,
they've announced their beta numbers.
Jumpgate Evolution.
Jumpgate Evolution.
Yes, yes.
A 250,000 people have signed up.
That's a large number.
I've got a statement to make about this.
Oh, go on then.
If you have your beta available for sign up for 2 years, you'll get 250,000 people when you're opening the beta.
I was very impressed when I saw this headline, but you clearly are more sceptical than I. And yeah, they've been open betaing for a very long time.
I signed up 2 years ago, and I think I've signed up every 6 months since, in case they lost the list. And I'm pretty sure that's what most of the people are.
So divide that number by about six on the basis everyone's re-signing up every 2 months just to make sure. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
How many of those people come via the Jumpgate route?
14.
Yeah, because...
I wouldn't be surprised if there were some...
So you were playing Jumpgate. This for the last cheap seats, weren't you?
Yeah, diehard Jumpgate players who are still subscribed don't actually log in, just linking it into the beta.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Possibly.
Jumpgate does seem like the sort of game which will get that level of enthusiasm.
And, it's a niche, but people who like niches stick with them in a much stronger capacity, I think.
Yeah, so that's a stupid number.
Yeah, it's possibly not. Probably a little misleading, maybe.
And another patented John prediction.
Go on, then.
It's not going to have that many subscribers.
It will be under
250.
Oh, we get all right, then let's have a guess at some numbers. You think under 250 over what? After what, 6 months? Or
I reckon
after a month? Or?
After 6 months, I reckon they'll be down at around 70.
70,000?
Yeah.
I'll be generous, I'll go with 100, but after 6 months. But yeah, I don't think this is going to break any records. It was always going to be a very sort of specific and, yeah, like I say, I use the word niche lots of times this show, I think.
And
but,
it's
yeah.
niche, take note.
Niche, not niche.
Not
yes.
niche. Mm. Yeah, okay.
Yes, next.
Having just pissed off an awful lot of listeners again. Another week in a row. PlayStation Network is coming to Sony laptops.
The latest
line of Sony Vaio laptops have them.
The PlayStation Network, I suppose, is the PS3 equivalent of the Xbox Live Arcade
For the PS3, the PC.
So it's their big menu system used for getting to the content.
It's the big shop.
The big shop.
Where you can buy the videos. On the PS3, it's got a YouTube-style music video watching service.
Okay.
They advertise really badly. They should do better.
And you'll now be able to get at this from PCs, presumably using Windows.
And you'll be able to buy videos, films, and I would imagine games.
Is this to do with home at all? Or is that a
totally different.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a brilliant move.
That's a good idea,
It's going to bump up their PSN numbers. You've got to be careful with Sony's PSN numbers. Mm. People keep comparing them against the Xbox Live numbers when they're not really comparable. PSN's a lot bigger, a lot more... multi-platform service,
right?
Which also that your PSN login is your forums for the Sony site as well.
Okay, whereas
so
the
your
Xbox...
PSP players will have it. Your Sony Vaio players users will have it.
Yeah, whereas your Xbox is very specifically just the console. Well, I mean, I've got one for my PC, but there's only a few games that do cross-platform.
It could
to Windows.
Be argued that the support for games for Windows has not been as high as Microsoft hoped.
No, well, it's because
it's a bollocks UI. It's awful.
It really is bad. My only experience with it is through Fallout 3 and on the PC, and that has the Xbox One. And the very first incarnation of that was literally the same one as the on the console. Yeah. It was bloody awful because it didn't respond to mouse clicks. You have to actually push enter. You know, you can try clicking on stuff, nothing happens.
Were
you
not using your Xbox controller on your PC to play the game?
No, clearly. You have to use the arrow keys and enter to navigate it, which I find quite counterintuitive as a PC user. But I've hardly seen any titles that support Xbox achievements and Xbox Live connectivity and stuff.
There's only been a couple, really.
Fallout 3 being one, of course.
The achievements are relatively almost popular.
Yeah.
But the whole rest of the service is completely nothing.
There's just not really a lot there if you're coming at it from the PC, no. You've got the message centre, I suppose, and the benefit of a keyboard, which must be nice, when responding to messages.
Follow that black cable coming out of my Xbox.
Oh, hang on,
where
here
does
we
it go?
Into a big rat's nest on the floor that looks like it's sparking. Should it be humming like that? Where's that one go? No. Oh, go on. Show me what you're pointing
at. Go to that keyboard.
Oh, you got a keyboard plugged into the Xbox?
Yeah.
All right. Why?
I was typing messages.
It's using it as a cooling fin, is it?
Yes. No, it supports keyboards for typing.
Fair enough.
Anyway, staying on Xbox.
Yes, let's.
The XNA Creators Club site has been refreshed.
Yes.
Which is something I'm going to hark on about because I'm
Yeah, we'll come back to this later, I think. But,
And they've made their change to Xbox Live indie games.
Right.
And the big, big, big change is they've changed how much the pricing of these games are.
Right, okay.
It used to be 200, 400, 800 points.
What's that in real money?
Yes.
Well, it was 80 points as a pound, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And now it's going to be 80, 240, and 400. So effectively, they've halved the price of what they can be.
£1, £3, £4, whatever,
and
yeah.
You should see the people complaining on the Creators Club site.
Well, so they're effectively getting less money.
They've got the ability to charge less money.
Oh, so it's still up to the person who creates the game.
You can't charge 800 now, yeah, but you can still charge 400.
Oh, okay.
And what everyone on the site seems to be missing is the important lesson that Apple have learned with the iPhone and the Touch, which is if you price your games at £1 or £2, they sell an awful lot better if you sell them at £10.
Well, I'd buy 10 games at £1 each rather than one game at £10.
Apple's App Store has learned this. Steam has learned this and is currently showing it. I forget what the current sales are this week. I think
so perhaps this is just sort of pretentious wannabe game devs getting a little bit uppity about the money.
Yeah.
When perhaps they're missing the point of what the XNA creator thing is all about.
Well, one of them.
If you've got a really good game, comments, go to a proper publisher.
Yeah, the idea is you get noticed on this.
Yeah,
maybe
you're
bumped up.
Yeah.
But one of the guys said, "Oh, where do we stand in comparison to Xbox Live Arcade games? You don't. They are full retail, proper games. You're meant to be smaller.
2-year development with a 50-man team or whatever. Yeah.
I think the problem is some people are expecting to make Halo on it.
Yeah. Perhaps casting their ambitions a little high, but it's a stepping stone, isn't it?
We'll cover that in more detail in the future. But yes, there are some good changes.
Good from a consumer perspective,
anyway. Good from a consumer point of view, because you don't
get more for less.
There are some fun games on it, and you get them for cheaper.
Hmm.
Oh, Steam, that's a good link. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Steam have added some more back catalogue games.
Okay, yeah. This is sort of dredging up the abandonware, I suppose, is it? That sort of thing.
Yes, Sierra Adventure Games.
Oh, okay.
All now supporting Vista.
Uh-huh.
Which is the important thing.
Yes.
Thank you, Steam. You're keeping games alive.
Absolutely.
This is, King's Quest and Space Quest.
Oh, yeah.
Classic games from old years.
I don't believe I ever played any of them, but I do remember them having a good reputation and much esteem at the time.
Yeah.
Sort of going back 10, 15 years now.
The Adventures of Roger Wilco.
Yeah, all that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I don't know how well these games stand up because I haven't played them in about 15 years.
Yeah, but you are playing through Monkey Island Special Edition at the moment, aren't you?
But how Ron Gilbert was a god.
Well,
is a god.
Yeah, but there were many games of a high quality.
Yes.
Not as good as Monkey Island, obviously nothing was, but many games were nearly as good as Monkey Island.
If you're willing to accept that graphics may be a bit outdated, the gameplay and plot can still and humour can still be just as good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of a revival, I think.
Yes.
Good stuff.
Next, we got another rumour.
Oh, good.
For someone who's decided not to report rumours, that's a simple rumour is All Points Bulletin.
Fact is boring. What we got?
All Points Bulletin will apparently rumoured to be starting in March 2010.
I don't know. Later than I'd expected.
No, I reckon that's when I
maybe the hype cycle's been a bit over the top for me because I thought it was a lot nearer than that. But
and I believe they're still planning on getting the 360 version out at the same time.
Well, that'll be the thing. Yeah.
I think it's probably apart from the arcade game we mentioned last week. This is the forerunner on the first new MMO out on.
I understand that APB is going to have got a casual sort of footing. It's going to
no levels.
Well, no levels. It's
drop in,
just blow stuff up.
Gameplay.
Yes.
And develop your character instead. of your abilities.
Yeah, your level ups come in the form of better looking equipment rather than more stats. So that'd be an interesting is it horizontal gameplay, I suppose they call it.
And everyone's going to be a bad guy and not the police.
I'm going to be a very English Bobby, I've decided. From the 50s, from Heartbeat. That's what I'm going to be.
Oh, excellent.
APB, yeah.
I'll do that.
Sort of sauntering down the streets, telling off kids for scrumping apples.
Clip round the ear.
Yeah, exactly. Clip round the ear, send them home to their parents.
Yeah.
That's what they need.
It's Comic-Con this week.
Is it?
And loads
I have
of people
no interest in comics whatsoever.
And one of the things I've learned this week is you never suggest that maybe the Superman costume could be redesigned.
Ooh, did that cause a lot of nerd rage?
Yeah. I'm not making that mistake again.
Yeah. This is what happens when you step up and start talking comics.
I know nothing about comics. Anyway, yes. Microsoft have announced an anime film series of Halo.
Halo?
Yeah.
God.
7 short films called Halo Legends.
Right. I thought the whole point of Halo was that you're supposed to be a faceless non-entity in a spacesuit. Does he ever take the helmet off? I mean,
no.
He takes the helmet off and
he
it's like a love interest.
Off,
and then there's tales of his past.
His love interest lived in his head.
I had no idea. Never played Halo. I feel so weird and ostracised.
Well, it's coming to Xbox Live in the autumn, and there will also be a DVD and Blu-ray and other digital platforms.
Are we going to do a heckler's commentary broadcast?
Other digital platforms?
Other digital platforms.
Oh.
Microwave? Fridge?
Warner Brothers. Yes, I'd love to see this on the PlayStation.
Right.
That'd be brilliant. It's releasing it on the PlayStation Network's film service.
Yeah. Seven half-hour adverts for a game on an entirely different platform. Good.
Yeah. Microsoft, you have to do that, and Sony, you can't say no.
I hope there's a toy range to go with it all as well.
There's already a toy range. Anyway, it's going to suck. Next. Oh, important other comic news.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's all for all comic news. Yes, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 is going to have a cameo by Stan Lee.
Oh, right.
Now, this is vitally important, because Stan Lee has a cameo in every single one of the Marvel films.
Ah, so this is a kind of validation then, is it?
Yeah.
Excellent.
And it's out on September the 15th.
Good stuff.
I'm currently playing the first one.
All right.
Yes, it's...
Is that what you were playing when I...
That's what I was playing when you
when
came in.
Okay. Yeah. So sort of run-around squad-based 4 superhero guys blowing stuff up.
Bollocks, I've got to get 1,000 achievements on it by September the 15th. What's the date today?
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, and... yeah, it sounds to me like a pretty good validation of the fact that they're treating the games a bit more seriously now compared to how they have in the past.
Well, treating them as canon, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, PlayStation 3 news.
Okay.
Oh, good news, PlayStation.
You're going to behave now, aren't you?
Every bit of PlayStation 3 news has been happy and cheerful and nice.
Good, good. The mind control's working.
Yeah. PlayStation owners are going to be getting Castle Crashers.
Castle Crashers? I have no idea what that even is.
It's a cartoony 4-player little knight thing running around beating stuff up game.
Oh, sounds good.
And it's tremendously and brilliantly fun in multiplayer.
Oh, good.
So the PlayStation 3 is better for having it.
Jolly good.
Next, I've got a follow-up to the story last week about Call of Duty
4.3, 4.8, 4.6, 9, 7,
World at
7
War.
7.5.
No, Modern Warfare 2.
Yes.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not it's a special edition or not depends on whether you have the Call of Duty in the name, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Well, apparently, the average price currently paid for a video game in the UK is £21.97.
Right.
Which is quite impressive.
I was in the computer game shop this week. I should have been paying more attention to the prices. I go straight to the 2 for 10.
Exactly,
though.
You do. You go to the 2 for 10 or the 3 for 20.
Yeah,
and you look there because you get some incredible deals of games which are sometimes.
I just almost never buy
and
anything
if you're
new.
Lucky Tabula Rasa.
I don't know. Yeah, I think they got rid of them finally. Yeah, I'm not sure that I'm applying some weird 3-month rule to offline games as well because it's not like they're going to get any better. Although they do get patches. I don't know. I just sort of wait. Yeah, wait.
The average price of what people pay for Xbox 360 games also dropped.
Okay,
to £26.27.
So a bit more expensive, but then an Xbox 360 is cheaper than a gaming PC, so it all averages out, I suppose.
Yeah, that probably means an awful lot of people aren't buying games on release. They're waiting a couple of months.
Mm.
I've actually bought quite a lot of games recently off Amazon Marketplace.
It just makes sense.
Secondhand.
Yeah, well, it's just consistency. If you're consistently seeing games launch at a high price and then are always reduced 3 months later or 6 months later or whenever, depending on the shop, unless you desperately want to play that game, why not just wait 6 months? Get it for half the price. And I've come to sort of depend on that, really. That's how computer games work for me.
Unfortunately, it means that all of the sales are pushed into the secondary market.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is, interestingly, on the Xbox, why you got all this DLC. Because I've been playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance, which I may have borrowed from a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And
bad. Bad you.
Well, is it really?
Mm.
You can lend albums to people, they don't complain.
I don't know what the law actually is about lending computer games.
I don't think there is one. Mm. But there's downloadable content for it, which you have to pay for.
Right.
So you can still, even if people are lending games or getting them on the second-hand market, you still have a method of getting money from these people.
Getting the revenue
through the DLC.
The DLC cannot be shared easily.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that's
why
a game's getting an awful lot of DLC now.
I suppose that would then drive game studios to backload the content more and more into the DLC just to try and get people to actually buy their own copy rather than keep going through the
secondhand
market.
What you do is you make it a long-tail release schedule, like, say, Burnout.
Burnout Paradise is a good example, yeah.
Do a year's worth of releases.
There's just so much extras that you don't get off the disc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's other numbers that the smallest decline in customer spending was the 360.
Okay, so 360 owners are consistent with their purchase schedule, I suppose.
Yeah, and probably the last really interesting number here is PC game sales in general, just PC, have gone up. See, they've seen a rise in their average selling price from $12.97 to $13.97.
So that's the average PC game price?
Yeah.
Right.
Shut the window because next door neighbours.
There we go. Lawn mowing.
Must mow my lawn, actually. Yeah.
Summer.
Where was I? Yeah. PC games actually going up, and it does look from those numbers that most people do buy their games in the £2 for a £10 or £3 for 20 quid.
Yeah, it'd be stupid not to. It's like I say, unless you're specifically following a title and really I can't wait for it, which, to be fair, I'm not really about anything anymore, then you just sort of you go in there, you look at the full price off the chart, and you think, I'll keep an eye on that one, that looks interesting, and then you come back 6 months later when it's on £3 for a £10 or whatever, or budget re-release.
Or it's on the pack where it comes with the expansions as well.
Yeah. I wonder how much of it is because I am a dyed-in-the-wall MMO gamer. I mean, most of, I'd say about 80% or more of my weekly gaming time is spent in an MMO. So I don't generally have a need to keep replacing titles because I finish them or I get bored. I've sort of developed, a rut. Some sort of mentality
Does that mean that free-to-play gaming is going to destroy the PC games industry?
It depends on the quality of the individual titles. I mean, no amount of free is going to save a game that's just not fun to play. But if they're decent enough and don't cost anything and you can play them again.
Which we'll cover in our next section.
Why would I need to keep going out? See, the reason I don't buy games, largely, is because I'm not finished with the games I've got. And most of those being MMOs, you don't actually finish them in the conventional sense.
You can actually
sense.
Finish a game before you buy a new one?
Not finish as in complete the plot, but am done with it for my own interest. You know, I have not got bored of the stuff I'm playing already. So, and I just don't have time to keep up with all of the new releases and keep them on the go and play them and sort of keep this inbox going through, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not an indictment on the particular games that are coming out, you know, the new stuff. There's a couple of titles there I quite like the look of, but I'm not ready for them yet. And I don't suppose I'm alone in that sort of buying philosophy.
Probably not. I probably think that you are in the majority. If you look at the average attach rates for consoles, they're incredibly low.
Well, it's not even games, you know, just any form of entertainment. If you're not bored with the thing you already have, you don't need a new thing. it's a very fundamental thing.
But the new thing's shiny.
Well, perhaps.
This is going to turn into a big destruction of my entire life, isn't it? So, moving on.
Yeah, okay.
Sony are being sued.
Oh, hello. Yeah. Who by, what for, what did, what, when?
Eric Estavillo of
Santa. Wasn't he in Chips?
Yes, he was.
Excellent.
He got banned from playing Resistance Fall of Man and other PSN games.
Right.
I can only assume for being an arse or cheating.
Well, yeah.
Those being the main reasons.
This is a bit banned from playing online. I don't imagine they can shut down his own home copy. But
they got he got kicked off the service.
Right.
And he says that he was exercising his First Amendment right to freedom of speech in the game's public forum.
God, here we go. Freedom of speech has a lot to answer for.
I believe...
Probably doesn't even mean this.
No, legally I believe that if you accept the terms of service, then the freedom of speech doesn't count because, you've agreed to... go by certain
rules. Have we seen a precedent for this kind of case, or will
no
this be
been
it?
Dumb enough to
well, this
bring it.
Is what I'm thinking, yeah.
And I suspect this one's going to go away. Do you know how I know this?
Because Sony have vastly more money than Eric Estrada there.
Guess who's representing him?
Jack Thompson?
No.
No, sorry.
That's himself! You, sir, are an idiot for a lawyer, as the saying goes.
Fool for a client, yeah. Well, we'll try and keep an eye on this one, but I think we can pretty much know how this will go.
He says that
it's my goddamn God-given right to swear like a mofo on the forums.
Yes, and
the judge will just point and laugh.
And because of his agoraphobia, he can't really. He has to do this because it's his only contact with the world. And he's said that the Sony's ban is effectively theft of the prepaid points he had already loaded onto his PSN wallet.
Well, no. To be fair, I'd expect. I think the fair point would be to have those points refunded or the money given back if the service has been removed. But the banning itself, I can't see how that's going to break any human rights or First Amendments or anything. You do not have the right to be an arse on a private network service.
No, there are rules for what you're joining in. Wherever you are in the world, there are rules you have to stick to.
Yeah.
And he's going to lose this case.
It's called society.
This is not going to go. This is not going to go to court. Okay.
Mm.
Yes, this one's definitely a story for you.
Oh, go on, hit me. Ow! Sorry.
This Christmas,
yes,
on the DS,
yep.
They're releasing a game based on The Warlock of Firetop Mountain.
Whoa! Wow! Fantastic. I was a huge Fighting Fantasy game book fan, and in some ways they predate my fixation with computer game role-playing and computer MMOs and so on.
I mean,
it all started back there, I think. I think I had about half of the first 50 and all of the Lone Wolf series. That was quite good. I mean, I'm going to have to look and see if they're worth anything on Amazon.
Do you still have them all?
I think I've got most of them still, yeah. They all moved with me to my flat. I don't know where they went though, but yeah.
It's just that they're very much one
big fan of Fighting Fantasy game books.
They're very much one of those things which always ends up in a parent's loft.
No, I got all mine.
And when you want them 20, 30 years later because they're hideously valuable,
having some
said
retro
thrown them out
revival nostalgia trip.
They got thrown out years ago.
They're
for
all gone.
So always, that's an important note, kids.
Yeah, don't throw your toys away.
If you're moving out from your parents' house, you have to take all of your important stuff that you think will possibly be valuable with you.
Yeah.
Parents don't understand.
Well, you go through this phase during sort of mid-teens when you want to be an adult desperately and you want to be an adult more than anything in the world, and so you sell all your toys like I did with all my Lego, and I've always regretted that. Sorry, moving on. So yes, Firetop Mountain DS game. So what is that?
Stuff.
Is that going to be a literal translation of the book? You know, we're just... Use the stylus to turn pages.
Apparently, it's been in development for 4 years, so I'm saying no.
It's got to be a little bit more complex than just an online ebook, then, yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine it's just going to be an interesting plotty type game.
It'll be some random fantasy hack and slash with the license tacked on, I expect, but. Oh, I approve of it anyway.
Apparently, Ian Livingstone still is in command of the brand and approves.
Good stuff. Look out for that soon. Well, eventually, whenever.
Sometime in the future.
Mm.
And finally, stupid story of the week.
Oh, at last. What we got?
This is going to annoy an awful lot of people, me making this stupid story of the week.
Oh.
But Sam Raimi is going to do the World of Warcraft movie.
You've gone with the World of Warcraft story as stupid story of the week. Excellent. Okay, so, yes, Sam Raimi, famous for... I'm not really a movie buff. What's he done?
Evil Dead.
Oh, Evil
you
Dead.
See,
I just lost a huge amount of credibility.
From that point of view, he is one of my gods.
Yeah.
I worship
him. So you're going to see him turn World of Warcraft into the Evil Dead 5 or something.
But...
You've even got undead in World of Warcraft.
On the other hand, he also made Spider-Man 3.
Ah, which was not good?
That which was complete and utter bollocks.
Right, okay.
It suffered from too many villain syndrome.
Too many villains. Oh, okay.
If you look at any superhero... film.
Yeah.
Count the number of villains. The more villains there are, the worse the film will be.
Right, yeah. So I was just thinking back to the Batman series, and I think you might be onto something there, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yes, when you got Freeze and... Was it Riddler and with Freeze?
Yeah, there was Freeze and Riddler, and I think there was Poison Ivy in there as well with them.
Yeah.
And it was just very busy.
See, if you get,
not too busy.
If you get three villains, it's bad. Two, yeah, you can just about carry that off.
Well,
I mean, the last Batman had,
thing, yeah.
Two-Face and...
Joker,
yeah.
Yeah.
How could I forget the Joker was in that? Anyway, it's going to suck, and I would imagine the best bit about it will be the cameo by... What's his name? Bruce Campbell.
Oh, Bruce Campbell. Bruce yes. Campbell as Warchief Thrall. That'd be awesome. All the prosthetic dub and everything.
If Chins Could Kill, as his autobiography is entitled.
I think we should go and see that. I think we have to, really, as part of our public service remit, being, you know, MMO podcasters.
Please
and stuff.
Tell me how you get on with that.
If we get I'm public, dragging you to see
if
it.
If we get public service cash, I will see it as a part of a public service thing.
I'll set up a PayPal account, and if we can amass, what is it, £10.50 each, then we're going to go and see World of Warcraft movie when it's around. And we'll sneak the recorder in as well.
So no, we can... won't, because then we'll get arrested.
Live podcast.
There was a brilliant point a couple of years ago where Kevin Smith did a audio track for commentary that you're meant to listen on your iPod while watching the film. And apparently all of the cinemas got really, really, really upset with him.
Encouraging recording devices.
Yeah, because he just did a director's commentary that you're meant to watch at the cinema. Brilliant idea.
I like that.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess that's the news then. Shall we move on to our last Fortnite's focus of gaming?
Absolutely. Right. Do you want to go first?
No, you can go first because mine's going to get a bit painful.
Oh, yes. Okay, well, so this Fortnite we went to the Twitter question to try and get solicit some choices for gaming.
Did we learn something there?
We learned that everyone has a different idea about what's a good thing, and we ended up with, I think, 15 games all with one vote each.
Yeah.
But those that did get duplicate votes, we went along with. I got Sword of the New World Grando Espada, not Espana, as I keep calling it, which is a free-to-play MMO from Hambitsoft, distributed to various different shell companies, and it's all very complicated. I did a little bit of surfing around and research, and it turns out there's quite a bit of disgruntled... I don't know, envy, I suppose, because there's, like, apparently the Singapore version of the game is much better than the one in the US, because it's about four or five updates ahead or something like that. Anyway, so you may have to shop around. I went with the one they call Sword of the New World, which is the one available in the US and for UK, EU players as well. So 14 days worth of play. I suppose I'd actually gave it quite a bit of time, this one. Because I found myself actually quite liking it.
Yeah. You're not getting the point.
I know. I missed the point entirely with this one. I mean, yeah, certainly Repels did feel a bit of a chore, but this one was quite fun. Okay, so the basic premise is that you are part of a family. Well, you are a family who are sort of pioneering from the old world to the new world. It's a strange world. It's a sort of parallel universe Spain and parallel universe South America, sort of around a kind of parallel universe 1700s or so. Sort of the big age of colonial expansion, and all of the cities and all the costumes and everything are sort of in that time period. So that was quite fascinating right off the bat. It's not your standard medieval world. It's not your bizarre sci-fi universe. It's actually one set in a particular time period where I've not really seen much else. It's sort of the age of colonisation and empire. So I'm not sure I'd call it steampunk as such. It sort of predates that a bit, and there's not a lot in the way of vast steam engines stomping around or anything. It's a world with magic. You have you create various characters, and you build up a party. They've got this multi-character control system, MCC, or whatever it means. Not the cricket, apparently. But
I'm thinking of NCP. I was thinking of Star Wars.
Yeah, and you're actually a party of three players. Three characters is your party. I don't know, it sort of plays like Guild Wars. It sort of plays a bit like Dungeon Siege and Diablo as well. So the gameplay was actually quite refreshing and different. I was quite taken with it. You sort of rampage around these various very lavish and well-polished-looking zones of this new world that you're trying to sort of pacify and conquer so it can be settled. through various sort of small maps. I don't know, it's almost fable-like, with the maps are sort of small self-contained areas that you work through, and then there'll be zone borders at each end of a sort of big path canyon sort of thing. Yeah, I liked it. It was quite fascinating. There's like character class. You normally get an archer type character.
Yeah.
They've got a musketeer instead, so that was good. So yeah, you got firearms, flintlocks, rifles, all that sort of thing. But also there's magic, there's wizards and elementalist characters as well who can sort of shoot fireballs and stuff. So it's all a bit of a mashup between a sort of colonial expansion era, but also with magic as well. And it was really quite refreshing as a different setting for it all. It's not something you see every day or anywhere else. So I'd recommend a look on just that basis, to be honest. I mean, the music and the styling of it all was quite good as well. So you've got sort of opera, piano sonatas and symphonies and things going on as well. And then once you're out into the overland areas where you're fighting the creatures, it all gets a bit techno in places. it's quite cool. Let's see. I've done my usual list of big notes here. Then let's have a look. Then so we've got opera and classical. Yeah, I mean the music. It's sort of original compositions, and again, it sort of fits very well with the overall style. And it sort of fits the theme, creates an entirely different sort of world that I'd not actually seen anywhere else. So that was refreshing. We've got colonial 1700s. Yeah, I mean I love the sort of the architecture of it all. It is quite sort of Spanish colonial sort of, I don't know, difficult to put a time. I mean, you're the historical architect era. When was the main sort of drive to colonise South America by the Spanish and
1973. It was shortly after the invention of cheap charter flights.
Yes, anyway. I've got polished, I've written down here. It really does seem well put together. I mean, it's like the detailing, the character design, the world, the cities were really good. They're sort of very elaborate looking sort of, South American colonial sort of cities there. I mean, the monsters, there was a bit of repetition monster syndrome, but then I did see a fairly small section of an overall very big level progression. So I've got Dungeon Siege ? And it really did sort of feel like that. You've got this, the way their little party system works, you've got three characters which you can group select and then just sort of drag them around the map with attack move commands as well as just movement. You can set them on defensive as well, which will just sort of make them stand in one spot and just start firing at stuff that comes near. It was all quite, I don't know, like I say, it really didn't feel like a normal MMO, if you know what I mean, with the single character, the hotkeys, the auto-attack. Yeah, I mean, they were auto-attacking, but they were generally one-hitting most stuff that came in, but the stuff was coming in so fast and at such a high spawn rate that the overall thing, although you're probably doing about as much work, it really, the pace of it feels really quite much, much faster than normal MMO trading blows, you know, waiting for the monster to fall over. There's a much more dynamic feel to the whole thing, which really did sort of endear itself to me. I got quite taken in by it all, to be honest. So you build up this party of three from a lobby where you can create any number. I think you're up to about 15 on the first set of quarters, and then you can expand that to even more as well. And you sort of mix and match in three characters that you pick from this really quite well animated and designed character select screen. They'll sort of walk in and stand in the middle when you choose them, and that sort of thing. And then those three you take into the world and you go off and rampage with them, and you can try different combinations of archetypes. They got the warriors, scout. Well, the scout's weird. The scout is part rogue and part priest. It's the healer class if you don't give them any weapons.
A bit more missionary.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not really priest, it's sort of medic. They don't seem to use divine healing. He sort of reaches into his backpack and throws out some healing stuff, and like that's the way to keep the party alive. But if you put a dagger in his hand, he suddenly gets all these dagger moves and becomes a sort of very light, high, fast DPS melee.
Okay.
Which is a bit weird. This is all handled through a stance system. Each of the classes can operate in several different modes. So, although you bring... the scout is a great example. You bring the scout in, and if you don't put a weapon in his hand, he functions as the group healer. But if you put daggers in his hands, he goes into one dagger fighting stance or two dagger fighting stance. So I don't know if there was actual stealth at all. I'm not sure if that would make sense in this kind of game. But he sort of becomes the traditional rogue melee DPS type class. And each of these stances has its own level. So you level up the character as a priest, or I call it a priest, healer, And then you can decide, no, actually, let's have two scouts and we'll set one of them as a healer and the other one can be the dagger guy, you know, and work up, the character will work up fresh dagger ranks as well. So you learn new stances further up. I mean, there was the fighter character, which has the taunt and the high armour. So there was a sort of Holy Trinity going on, but only by if you choose to use it yourself. I mean, my initial three was a wizard, an elementalist, and a musketeer, which are all very powerful ranged characters. I didn't have any healing or any tanking going on. I still managed to get to about level 15 or so in about three or four zones in, just by massive alpha striking everything that came near. So that seemed to work fairly well. But then I tried mucking about with it a bit. I went with a warrior scout with the daggers and one of the NPCs. You collect NPCs as you go through. If you do enough quests for a person, they join your family and end up as a choosable character on the character select screen. And they
sounds
have,
very organised crime.
It's sort of, well, it sounds very Pokemon, to be honest. You're saying to collect all these NPCs, and they are their own classes. They have their own sort of special abilities, and you can substitute.
If it sounds very Pokemon, then does that mean that's how you run your life? You choose your friends like Pokemon?
Yeah, exactly. You choose your friends based on the usefulness of this particular upcoming mission, yes. And yeah, so there's a certain collection gameplay involved in sort of tracking down all the different NPCs who can come and work for you and become choosable characters that can rampage out with you. But yeah, I ended up choosing three melee characters, and that didn't go very well at all. I got driven out of the first zone because there's a number of flying creatures that shoot at you, and you just cannot do anything about them if you've only got a sword. I mean, one of the musketeer's hotkey abilities is a thing that shoots flying stuff and brings it down to the ground, so that lets them everyone else jump on it. Yeah, they've all got hotkeys, and that is a bit strange. It takes a bit of getting used to, in that it uses the whole keyboard, because you've got three hotkey bars. So what it does is it puts the first character's hotkeys on the QWERTY row, then the ASDF row is the second character, and the third on the ZX row. So you end up with the whole keyboard using various hotkeys. But the special attacks aren't as fundamental as they are in MMOs. I mean, if you just try and auto attack your way to level 50 in a normal MMO, you probably won't get there. But the auto attack in this game is very powerful in its own right and will generally one hit most creatures. But yeah, as I say, they're throwing so many creatures at you so fast that it doesn't matter. It becomes more about a sort of tactical exercise, plotting your way through a path through the level, timing it with spawns so you don't get overwhelmed, that sort of thing.
Sounds quite fun.
It sounds very different, and it is because.
It sounds like a console game.
Well, it does. I don't know. It doesn't it? I'm having trouble finding comparisons. I like to tag comparisons. I like to say, oh, this is like that, this is like that. And this Sword of the New World is, I don't know, it's not like anything in the MMO world, let's put it that way. I mean, yeah, Diablo 2, I suppose, Dungeon Siege, that kind of thing, where you're just sort of rampaging around at a fair old rate, literally wading through monsters at a high speed. And it all just felt a lot more vibrant and immediate than, yeah, certainly in Repels and a number of other proper MMOs as well. What else we got? AFK combat. Yeah, yeah, this was a good. It's because you've got various group orders you can give the entire party.
Yeah.
Things like attack move to a point. So they'll run towards that point, but if anything gets nearby, they'll shoot it and go and engage. But one of them is defend this spot. So you give them that command, and they form a little triangle, and all face outwards, and they just start attacking anything that comes near. And this turns out to be a very hands-off way to play. And I just sort of stood there watching as they were just murdering anything that came near, and I thought, I'm not actually needed for this, am I? So as an experiment, I parked them slightly off the main thoroughfare of a canyon leading to this big temple, and they started happily slaying away, and I went and had a bath. I've took my book in there as well. I've just finished The Freedom Phalanx by Robin D. Laws.
Okay.
It's quite good, actually, quite good ending. Not as spectacular as I was hoping.
Yes,
anyway.
Ladies, Brandon Hemlock has just committed to playing MMOs naked.
Well, not playing, that's the whole point. I was in the bath for about an hour, like usual. I got out and I came across, and they were still there. They were all still alive. They'd all gained, well, let's have it written down. They got from 57% of level 12 to 37% of level 15, so they'd gained about three levels while I was not there.
Okay.
No, they obviously didn't pick up any loot because there wasn't a command for that. But yes, AFK gaming, and I.
What level do you expect them to be by the time you get home today?
No, I've not done that. No, mostly because I worry about my electricity bill. But
you know what this reminds me of?
What does it remind you of?
The way you play X.
Yeah, X. The space game with the accelerated time and the Empire trading and the automated spaceships. Yes, yes, AFK Gaming. And I actually looked on, I had a quick look through the help system, which actually is quite good. It covers all the topics.
You sound surprised.
Yeah, I know. I've never seen a help system in an MMO that's been worth a damn, but this seems to cover most of what you need quite succinctly. And it has this thing on at the bottom about botting. Apparently they don't allow botting, and if you see anyone botting, you should report them as suspicious.
Okay. Define botting.
Well, botting, I suppose, is using third-party programs to run your characters for you, to grind out levels, cash, whatever. I don't know. But I just sort of looked at it and I thought, well, you don't really need to bot at all. You just need to push space bar so they go into defensive mode and then walk away. So it was a bit weird. But, I mean, and that would be a reason to really harshly lay into this game. But then you think, well, you need to work the interface sometimes, and at the rate the stuff's spawning, it's you've got no pause button, you see. Now, the thing with Diablo or Dungeon Siege or whatever is if it gets really hectic, you can mash ports, then you can issue some commands, and then you can run it again, or you can just have a think, use the inventory, whatever. Can't do that in an MMO, obviously, because many people are playing it. So it seems, I don't know, it's something along those lines where you just need to dig in to give yourself a bit of room to think. I mean, the fact that you can walk away for an hour, come back and have gained three levels each is I don't know, perhaps a balance issue. But I don't know. I mean, ordinarily this would be a reason to just laugh at this game and heap scorn on it. But I just don't know. I think it seems necessary here. I mean, it seems a balancing thing because you can't actually make any progress whilst you're, if you're trying to move through a level, you've still got to know how to move through the pathing. You know, you've got to time it with the spawns, you've got to be careful what's ahead. So I think that becomes the gameplay rather than the individual business of killing a single monster. Because any time during comp, as you're walking through, any time you mash spacebar, they'll all just suddenly get out the guns out and start digging in wherever they are. So it becomes a way of gathering pace so that you can move forward, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, so clearly it can be abused, and I think they're not too happy that it does work like this, but I suppose it's a consequence of the overall design. But yeah, fascinating. Three levels without actually playing. Power leveling myself.
And you made it sound like it's not too bad a thing. Wow.
I know. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what to make of it all. Instance mini games I've written down here. Certain people you can talk to will teleport your party into this special little instance mini game area. They're all different, and they're sort of, it's like normal gameplay, but with a set timer. For example, one of the first ones you come across is our stone quarry is overrun by monsters. Please help us clear it out. And so you teleport to this instance of the stone quarry, and you've got to work your way through this little arena type map with a 10-minute timer to kill all the monsters, that sort of thing. And these sorts of mini games repeat. There's another one where this little boy's friend has got lost in a ruin, and you have to go in and rescue her. And that basically becomes a hold the fort for 10 minutes while monsters come at you down different avenues. So there's a number of different mini games you can play, I suppose, driven off of the story there, as well as the overland working through the zones. I mean, the zone progression seems to be very similar to Dungeon Siege in that it's basically one very long linear journey that you work your way up, gaining levels as you go through, rather than here is the zone you go when you are this level. It's sort of more of a directed journey, I suppose. Although there are many branches along it, it's not just one single. Here is the start, here is the end. But it sort of leads, I mean, if you just follow the path, you'll gain enough XP as you move along it to be the right level when you get to the next zone and the next zone. So that is very similar to Diablo and Dungeon Siege, how those work. I think those were the inspirations for this game, not, World of Warcraft or whatever.
And for that, I'm glad.
Well, it certainly is worth a look, I think. Let's see. What else have I got? Fee per zone / world shout. Now, this is a fantastic idea that I want to see adopted everywhere. It has world chat, but you have to pay money to buy an object, which is a one-shot use to use the world chat.
Yeah. Let's have it in everything.
Basically, it just cuts down on the mindless
gibbering. Speaking of someone who never uses world chat.
Well, quite, I know. I mean, if you, the same with the zone chat, that the object you use, it's like a megaphone and a microphone, they're called. Little item you get from a vendor. It costs a significant but not crippling amount of money. So if you want to broadcast to the entire world, I've seen Runes of Magic do this as well. I think you actually need some of their diamonds to use the world broadcast chat, which is their RMT currency. But I expect you'll talk more about that shortly. But yeah, just the idea that just a little bit of a deposit on the world chat to make sure that people really mean it and aren't just opening up world chat and then rolling their face on the keyboard all the time, which I've often seen in many games where that kind of thing is free for all.
Yeah.
Freedom of speech, not shouldn't be free, yes. let's see, what else we've got? Kangaroo Crocs, yes. The crocodiles bounced around on two legs in this game. I don't know why. Most of the rest of the monsters
of course
are
cool. Can. Yeah. If you're a crocodile who could do that, wouldn't you do it a lot to show off?
They are bloody tenacious as well. They just sort of appear out of nowhere, sort of 6 feet away, run straight, bounce straight at you and start attacking. And if you,
like a real crocodile.
Yeah, and you can't shake them off. I don't know. I'm presumably zoning gets rid of them, but... But yeah, so there's no running away from monsters in this game. You've got to either deal with them or die. So dying's strange. Individual character gets knocked over. They end up with a timer, a recovery timer, and they'll just lie there. And that then sort of takes you from three characters down to two and so on, and it can get worse. I mean, and if the whole party wipes out, they all just lie there with recovery timers. I think there may have been an XP loss, but XP gain is very, very fast in this game anyway. And it seemed almost impossible to wipe. You just wait, and they all get back up again. But odds are you've all died scattered and in a place where there are monsters wandering around on top of you anyway. So the option to retreat back to your quarters, they call it, which is basically the character select screen, is always there. And as long as you don't change your team of three on the character select screen, you can load straight back to where you were when you came out of world. But if you change the makeup, then you have to go back to the start city and use the in-game teleporty stuff to get to where you need to be. So that was interesting. Let's see, collect family members. Yeah, I mean, this is all the sort of NPCs. They'll have quest chains, which if you complete, it makes you get a unique... I think they call them UPCs rather than NPCs, but unique player character card. And you can use that card as a one-shot character creation option to make one of that person, who then joins your little waiting room. And they can independently level, have their own equipment, all that sort of stuff. And presumably, I haven't used many of them, to be honest. I've been using the default player character-created characters instead. But presumably they have special abilities and attacks that are useful as you go up. See, crafting via required NPCs. Yeah, the game has crafting, and loads of monsters drop crafting resources, but to use the recipes, you yourself, your own family, the inner family, as it were, can't do any of the crafting. You need to have collected particular NPCs who are good at weapon making and so on to actually use the recipes and so on. It makes equipment. I mean, the equipment, the looting, monsters drop loads of increasing health items, like mangoes at the early stages, which you can just instantly scarf right there and then for health boosting.
You can't instantly eat a mango.
Instantly eat a mango and the whole team gets plus 200 hit points.
Wow.
Yeah. Spread among them. Well, that's, I think, partly it's why you don't necessarily need the healer class in the team. I mean, the optimum team build I found in the end was a warrior, a medic, and one other. A ranged guy, generally.
A warrior, a medic, and one other walked into a bar.
Yeah, exactly. I went with Musketeer in the end. That seemed to be really well quite balanced. I mean, the taunting works just like you'd see in normal MMOs. The warrior has an AoE taunt which gets the heat off of everyone else, and then the medic can heal the warrior. And then you need someone else who's got some ranged stuff to bring the flying stuff down, and away you go. Other combinations sort of work and sort of don't, which makes me sort of wonder why there is so much flexibility and freedom. But you can still form groups in this game. I haven't done it yet myself, but I may do. May find someone to talk to. It seemed quite quiet as I was running through. Didn't see many other people. But
that's because it costs money to talk.
It could be. But yeah, you can form I think it's called a squad, of up to 12 families, which is three characters each, which I mean you end up with 36 characters all rampaging around. And presumably, if there's six characters, then you don't necessarily need the warrior, medic, and aerial ranged guy as the optimum combination. You can have those three, and then the other three can be something a bit more exotic if you're all working together. But with the basic three, it seemed to be that the Holy Trinity is what you need to try and create, the tank, the healer, the DPS. And that's easy and easily done using the stuff that's available to everyone. Let's see, help system good, yeah, said about that. Third-party anti-hack app. Oh, gosh, yes, I saw another one of those, yeah. I saw it with Repels as well. I think it's something about Far Eastern gaming where they're just not ashamed of just blasting over your system tray with third-party game solutions. Perhaps hacking is very overt over there. I don't know, sort of cultural thing. I mean, this is almost nothing to do with Sword of the New World. It seems it's just something you have to do if you're...
Well, stop me playing Aeon for a start.
Well, yeah, I mean, why did that... It's because you got development studio installed.
I have stuff which could very... Well, it's a bit hard to not describe as hacking tools because it's designed for figuring out what's gone wrong with software.
Debugging, yeah. Yeah, so I imagine if you tried to get Sword of the New World going, you'd probably have trouble as well with the same thing. But yeah, but it seems like they really don't, they're not afraid to pop-ups and system tray icons, and generally it all looks like third-party bought-in stuff.
And that's something you're getting that off your system, you know that.
Well, possibly, yeah. I mean, but as long as it's only doing what it's supposed to do, I don't suppose I mind too much, but how do I know what it's doing? I don't really. But you just do not see that with Western MMOs, really.
That's because the complaints would be so great that they would be forced to take
it
out.
It's a strange cultural thing, yeah. But then having been on the receiving end of some quite overt hacking in Planet Side, I begin to question which is the better system. Perhaps a certain loss of my computer's liberty might be justified. I don't know. What else we got? AFK leveling. Yeah, don't say that. Melee versus air useless. Yeah, that was really annoying. I had to run away from the very first zone instantly because I'd brought along three people who could only do melee, and I was just being shot at by wasps the whole time.
We're going to need a longer sword.
We're going to need a bigger gun, yeah. Spawn rate. Yeah, very high spawn rate. I mean, I say, it's just the whole sort of pace of it seems very dynamic and engaging. Because anyone who's played Diablo 2 will know exactly what I mean. That has exactly the same kind of high speed to it. Monsters take three hits tops to die, and then you're on to the next one. But there are many, many of them, and they come at you very fast. And it's the same in here. I mean, they take one or two hits to kill most stuff, but it's just such a lot of it coming at you that you don't. The challenge escalates to the overall long game rather than I'm not sure if I will survive this individual fight. It's more about how do I pace myself to do well, and at what point am I going to get in over my depth? So it's a different kind of gaming technique, and it really was refreshing actually, because most of what I play, I mean, Guild Wars I think probably is about the most similar thing I play to this, but even Guild Wars has a different slant and different feel to it all, and this was something else again. So yeah, that's all my notes. It had three servers, and apparently I was on a PvP server, but it meant nothing to me. I didn't see no one attacked me. I didn't see any way to attack anyone else. I think there's specific situations involved as well. It's not just free-for-all, so something to do with clan ownership of particular zones, which I think is supported. I didn't really get that far into that side of it. So yeah, I quite enjoyed this one. Quite enjoyed my 2 weeks. I'm going to recommend this one. It's definitely worth a look, just to get a feel for the basic gameplay and see if that's something that you like. Free to play. We'll put links in the show notes as usual, and I'll probably do another proper blog post write up about some more of this as well. So that's what I was playing. What about yourself? You were in Runes of Magic.
I was in Runes of Magic.
Yes. How did that go for you?
This is going to be a very, very hard. I don't know how to review.
Yeah, you were talking to me a lot about this during the week. Let's start with what you thought of the game anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Right. The game is
easy download, easy install.
Very
no
easy download. Yeah. Quite big. 3 gig or so.
Oh, I think this was Sword of New World was about 1.4 gig.
So it was very large. Installed, no problems. Mm-hmm. Account set up, all done from in the launcher. Brilliant. Now you can go to our website. Started immediately, worked well on my PC. Couldn't get the sound working because of the fact that my onboard sound's broken. But
a streamlined experience that got you straight in and playing good.
It was completely painless to get in and play.
Mine was a pain in the arse. I had to go to File Planet in the end. I don't like File Planet.
No one likes File Planet. Shouldn't have to pay for downloads. Then I got in, started playing. And the game, as far as I can tell, is good.
Ooh.
I know, I was shocked.
Positive recommendation, my God.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, there's a slight problem about
I've played Runes of Magic a fair bit myself as well. I mean, were you struck by the startling similarity?
There's a startling similarity to another game, which is what makes this me reviewing it almost impossible, because I don't like the other game.
Yeah, so of course we're talking of World of Warcraft.
Yeah, so
very similar to Elwynn Forest, the very first bits of Runes of Magic. Yeah.
So I jumped in, did the tutorial, learned to do stuff. I think the only difference I actually really could pick up was there's a click to walk option in this, which isn't in Warhammer.
Yeah, click to move is an option. You can still use mouse look and WASD.
You can still move around normally, but you can also click to move around.
Fair enough.
I did the tutorial. Tutorial was functional, I think I would call it.
It was very Spartan, wasn't it?
Talk to this person. Go kill this. Kill the big spider.
You're now ready for adventure.
Spiders can't get that big. From what I can tell, the game is functionally a slightly ropier version of WoW. Mm. And that, I don't mean that
in a bad...
It's
been a while since you played WoW, but yeah, same here as well.
I don't mean that in a bad way.
No.
Because for a free game, if I was to choose between the two, whether I pay the however much it is a month for WoW at the moment or that,
yeah,
I'd probably go for the free one.
It's certainly on first glances. Yeah. I mean, it's very difficult to call Runes of Magic on its end game.
I would assume that WoW's end game is better.
Yeah.
The graphics aren't quite as good.
Mm.
The animation isn't quite as good.
But you'd have to be really picking straws to actually spot the difference.
No, I can spot the difference. Yeah. The animation stuff, like when you're on a horse moving,
yeah,
there's distinct chunks that it moves in.
Whereas WoW's a lot smoother and a bit more polished.
WoW is just better animated, and the graphics in WoW are better because there's a much better design style behind it and a bit more effort put into making stuff seem right.
You can tell that WoW was the original and this one is the inspired by.
You can tell that WoW had a bit more effort put into it. But when it comes down to it, if you just want a game where you're questing, doing stuff, and you aren't going to get to the end game.
Well, this is it. How many people are going to... Well, they'll spot the difference, but will they care?
Yeah. I only got a couple of levels in before the crushing inevitability of it being a WoW clone got to me.
Did you get as far as the dual classing system? Because that was something that did strike me as quite interesting and innovative. It's not quite the Guild Wars grade, but...
I was getting fapped off enough by having one class.
I think you need to get to level 10 to be able to activate that part of the game. But it lets you mix and match secondary abilities from another profession into your first profession. So you can become a warrior with some magic spells or a warrior with some healing or vice versa. That was quite... I thought that was quite innovative, but if you never made it that far, then that's going to be lost on you, really.
The quests are not that inventive. If anything, they're less inventive than WoW, because at least in WoW you have that underlying knowledge in the back of underlying everything of a certain level of humour.
Yes. I mean, I found that the translation, I think, for Runes of Magic does show. I mean, it's a very good localisation, but it is a localisation.
Yeah.
You can tell this wasn't written originally in English. But, yeah, I mean, WoW, basically, almost every other quest dialogue in there is some quirky film reference or some bit of humour or whatever, whereas Runes of Magic seem to take itself a lot more seriously.
It was just a bit more matter-of-fact and here you go, instead of being a bit more jokey about it. I don't know when you play, but did you see an awful lot of player interaction? Because I didn't.
Not really, no. But then
nobody was really talking.
Yeah, but you go to World of Warcraft and you'll see the same sort of thing. I mean, the very early stages of a game, you're still learning how to walk about and how to hit a monster.
Last time I was in World of Warcraft, there was people chatting on...
the zone chats and stuff.
Yeah.
But as I mentioned,
I think you need to pay.
I think you have to pay to broadcast.
It's one of the downsides, because I felt very... isolated and alone in there.
I felt exactly the same
thing. I did not feel that I was in an MMO, really. There were other players around, but they could have just been bots for all they mattered.
Is this the two-week effect in that we're not really getting involved in communities, we're just passing through and noting features? Or do you think perhaps in the longer term, if you were actually playing it for serious and trying to get involved, would it be easy, no one there to talk to?
Well, the problem is, if I was playing it for serious and wanted to get involved, then I would have moved over to WoW.
Because you're
guaranteed to get a better experience in the long
term. So you think perhaps Runes of Magic made up almost entirely of dabblers, then? Whereas if you're serious about it, you're going to go for WoW.
I would imagine that there are the more hardcore people in there. But I think that the people it attracts are probably the dabblers.
Yeah.
People who don't want to pay a monthly fee to play WoW.
By definition, less investment. Yeah.
Yeah. So you go in there, you can put your couple of hours in when you feel like it, have a comparable experience, and still have fun.
Yeah. I mean, was the basic gameplay fun? Were you enjoying?
No.
Right.
But that's because I don't find the basic gameplay of WoW fun.
It was a very MMO type.
It was
MMO.
Very MMO.
Yeah.
In fact, yes. This is the game which I got so far into it and hit a horrible dawning realisation.
Yeah.
I don't like MMOs.
All right, well... Yeah, before you launch off into this tirade that I know you're dying to have, any further features or points of interest that struck you about Runes of Magic?
The skills are all very uninspired.
The hotkeys. What did you play? What was your class?
I was.
Did you try a few or just the one?
I tried being a wizard.
A wizard. Okay.
Blasting stuff with
big
fireballs.
Big charge up fireball. Yeah. I think there's a mana shield type ability. Yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah. All very familiar.
Actually, the UI is very. It's a little bit ropey as well.
Yeah.
The design of the icons, the design of the timers saying how long you got, it just didn't feel as polished. I hate to use a polished word. Yeah. It didn't feel that it had quite as much effort put into it as WoW had.
I suppose...
Every aspect of the game just felt...
I suppose the overall impression I got was that someone had had World of Warcraft explained to them and then immediately set to coding.
And done a very good job at getting the early-level experience.
Very good facsimile, but clearly they're not a long-term Warcraft player and haven't really understood the underlying points of the game, maybe.
I don't think there was any way to customise the UI like you get in WoW.
Yeah. I've not found anything there.
I have no idea if the game even has grouping because people are just weren't talking to anyone.
I mean, the integration of the cash shop and the diamonds, did you sort of poke around that much?
I had a poke around in it, and it just seemed like the usual free-to-play. Yeah, here you go. If you actually want to do a bit better, you can chip in a bit of real cash and move on a bit.
I mean, I was looking at the Sword of the New World cash shop bits and pieces, and they seem very similar. There's potions, there's cosmetic outfits, usually are the two big things, the things that buff your XP and things that make you look prettier. It's difficult to begrudge a free-to-play game their source of income, but at the same time, it does get a bit intrusive, perhaps, and sometimes game-breaking. I don't know, game flow-breaking.
Anyway. Well, I didn't really hit anything in it that I would have needed to pay.
I think you're going to have... I think if they've designed a free-to-play correctly, you won't. You won't see a need to buy anything for at least a month's worth of gameplay.
And then it hits you.
Well, by that point, you're wanting to get involved and wanting to do well, and here are the tools, and here's what it's going to cost you. And I suppose it's difficult to rail against free-to-play because you take as much as you want out of it. You don't need to pay to get a basic gaming experience. And if you're a month in and doing really well and needing to get that extra edge, then I think it perhaps is not unreasonable for you to decide that actually, yes, I'm a customer of this company.
Yeah.
I want to put something back. So, I think it's all about intelligent design, I think, the how you put it in and what it gets you and how optional it is and at what point.
Unfortunately, the biggest thing I had was I couldn't get the sound working, which is...
A specific technical problem. I mean, I must admit I didn't have anything technical.
Yeah, well, I have to use a USB sound thing.
No.
And I couldn't figure out how on earth to tell it to use an alternate sound without completely changing my computer settings.
Oh, right.
So I don't know.
So the options screen wasn't
the
deep
options screen
enough.
Didn't have settings for the sound card.
Select sound source,
no.
That sort of thing.
Which is a shame.
Implementation, yeah.
The sound... I know a lot of people turn the sound off, but for me the sound really brings something to a game.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people turn the music off because some people just can't cope with the same bit of music playing over and over and over for 3 hours. But you keep the sound effects going because you want to get the feedback. So it is important to be able to hear them if you want. Okay.
Yeah, so basically it's a good game. It's enjoyable if you like that sort of thing, I guess. I'm not the best placed person to recommend it because I really don't like that kind of gameplay anymore, but I couldn't find a lot wrong with it.
No, I found it very passable. I mean, the RMT isn't too intrusive. The setting, while not original, is interesting still. There's options there. There's alternate sorts of gameplay. You've got your crafting, there's collectibles and this, that and the other going on. And I think a very passable alternative to World of Warcraft. I think if you are a serious online gamer, you'll want to play World of Warcraft. But if you're not that into it, or just a casual gamer or a dabbler, then this would make a lot more sense because you don't have a monthly fee.
Yeah.
I couldn't fault it on an awful lot, but then I haven't really been thinking it on a 2 week review basis.
All in all, I'd recommend people take a look.
It's worth a look, yeah. Certainly if you're fed up with Warcraft or have gone away from Warcraft and umming and ahhing about returning but don't want the big commitment.
I would imagine a lot of people would play this and then go back to Warcraft.
Maybe, yeah, maybe. I mean, also, something I sort of slight tangent, something I have been impressed with is their content updates. They seem to be banging out quite a lot of extra stuff, and all of this stuff is free. I mean, you've got elves and druids going in as races. There's some goblin mine that went in.
The list of updates is Dwarf Kingdom. Frequent.
Yeah, I mean, just looking on the various news sites, you'll see quite a steady pace of content upgrades, which I think is important, even in a free-to-play game. I mean,
yeah.
You can't just sit on the laurels, because people still want to feel like the thing's moving forward.
Yeah.
So during your time in this fortnight, you seem to have had some sort of moral crisis or some sort of direction epiphany going on there then. So you want to talk to me about this? Presumably this is to do with MMOs in general, perhaps not necessarily Runes of Magic's fault.
Well, Runes of Magic was...
Did I break you by making you play so many
Runes
free trials?
Runes of Magic was the game that broke MMOs for me.
Right.
they can put that on the box if they want.
Yeah, quotes. Yeah. Here's what people thought.
Just the general repetitiveness of doing the same sort of thing again and again. Pick up quest, go here, kill
it
stuff, go back.
Quarter
pick
the
up
genre,
quest,
yeah.
Go there, kill stuff, go back.
Not for everyone, perhaps.
There was a comment in Kieran Thingy's review of Darkfall.
Kieran Gillen, yeah.
Where he said that if you play a game for a bit and you don't think the experience is going to change that much throughout the entire game.
Well, this is him sort of defending somewhat against the accusation that you can't possibly have played Darkfall enough, but if the gameplay doesn't significantly alter.
If you played the start of it and you know the game isn't going to change dramatically, you've played enough to know that the game isn't going to change dramatically.
I think it's a fair assumption that within the first... Yeah, this is why I maintain that the cheap sees things useful in some capacity, and that, perhaps 10 hours worth of an MMO, you will know what it's going to be like more or less all the way up. Yes, okay, there might be the big sudden shift to endgame raid culture, but then that may not be a game you want part of anyway. So, but to get there, yeah, it will be much like what you've already seen. And you have a problem with this, do you?
Yeah, I can't be asked.
What's
for
wrong
it
with
anymore?
You, man?
I just look at the crushing inevitability of having to do the same things again and
it's
again.
It's motivation, isn't it? Well, but you are playing Lotro, and you're presumably not going to be just suddenly quitting that.
Well,
this is the static group thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't play Lotro when you guys aren't around.
No.
Because
well,
it's
I
exactly
must admit,
the same, just the whole...
I rarely drop in just a solo Lotro. I mean, I've got other games on the
merely
go as well.
Merely levelling in Lotro is a grind now.
Yeah, absolutely. But so it's more about the people and the social thing, and perhaps that's how MMOs are always meant to be played in the first place. So, but just going at it as a solo activity is not really for you anymore.
No.
I can respect that. Okay, so clearly then I'm going to have to let you off this Operation Cheap Seats thing, because you're just going to slag every game off because you're not an MMO player.
Well, see, the thing is...
It's unfair on the games and it's unfair on you.
I've got so much time and I feel that I can get a better return on investment for enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
Time played, effort put in, most enjoyment had by playing other games.
Yeah. Now, and perhaps a succession of games dipping in here and there.
Paul Barnett came out and said an interesting quote in an interview.
Oh, yeah.
The concept of there being an MMO is probably dead, and this is exactly what I feel.
Yeah, we're looking at Broken Toys here, and Scott Jennings is quite sensational about it all.
And he clarifies with, the concept of there being MMOs is probably dead. There are just games. There's online games, and very soon there will be just be games. They'll all be online anyway. I don't think there's an MMO anymore. I think there are online games and there is online revenue and they're sort of going to combine. And I agree with that utterly.
Yeah, well, this is an ongoing argument him and me have been having for the last God knows how long, is that what is an MMO question?
Yeah.
And I have trouble defining a boundary that he agrees with.
The problem I have is the traditional MMO definition, Global Agenda ain't going to qualify.
Mm.
Planetside doesn't qualify.
Guild Wars doesn't qualify.
Guild Wars only gets in on a technicality, I think.
Yeah, well, Guild Wars isn't an MMO, but everyone treats it like one because it's just less effort than not.
The conclusion I come to is, I don't care. They
well,
are all games.
I think
Planetside's there, it's fun.
Your terminology, I think, is mostly an academic abstraction. It's the sort of thing that ponces like me love to bang on about in lengthy blog posts and seem all pseudo-intellectual. But I think, when I think about it, yeah, there are just games. So.
When I look at the collection of games, I could play Warhammer or I could play Oblivion.
Yeah.
Does the advent of having more people in Warhammer make that game a lot more fun for me than, say, playing Oblivion on
my own? You're not going to interact with anyone in Warhammer, then you might as well be playing Oblivion, which is probably better just for the pure solo single combat aspects.
Well, yeah, because even when grouping in Warhammer, you're just doing stuff together. Moving on, and even then, that still doesn't really cut it. The only reason I'm playing Lord of the Rings is the overall plot. I want to do the books.
Yeah.
If they didn't have the books, I wouldn't be playing at all.
Well, yeah. I mean, perhaps the... Well, I'd like to think is also that you've got a static group of friends that you like to hang out with.
Would you
rather be playing Burnout Paradise?
I like all the people, but...
There are other venues.
Most of the people play games which I find an awful lot more fun.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, there's no reason why you couldn't take all of those friends and play a different game that was more fun. Yeah. So LOTRO itself is just a venue and perhaps not a great one
Purely the only reason I'm in there is because of the IP, and we're on this big epic quest chain that's actually quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's a motivator for me in Guild Wars and City of Heroes. I mean, yes, at Guild Wars I've done all of the stories to death, but it's nice working through them because you have a sense of purpose running through the overall game. And same with the task forces and strike forces in City of Heroes and Villains. They give a structure to it and a reason and a progression, a reason for you all to work together towards some goal. Okay, so I'm going to have to let you off the hook with this cheap seats thing then, because you are just going to rate everything awful. Which probably isn't a fair thing. Right, well, all right then, so we need something else to fill this section then, while I'm banging on about this week's free-to-play gem. And I've decided that you're going to, since you talk up the XNA an awful lot,
I'm
going to make you go off and look for gems in the Xbox community gaming section, whatever that entails, and do some little reviews and point stuff out for us. Find us some good stuff for our Xbox 360 listeners, which an increasingly large proportion of you are, which is all very distressing.
Do you know who isn't?
I feel like I'm on the rear guard.
You and Sean.
Yes, I'm fighting a losing battle here. This is eventually going to become a 360 podcast, I'm sure. So
no, PS3 as well.
It's all right. So talk us through the XNA then. What we got there, and what can we expect from you in coming fortnights?
XNA is a facility for people, normal people, to write games and get them published on the Xbox.
Right.
So they can charge money for them and make a profit, in theory.
So sort of grassroots, homegrown, back bedroom.
Yeah.
Back in the days of the old Spectrum games when whole commercial games were made in people's bedrooms.
It's basically a big game portal where anyone can publish a game.
Okay. And is there free trials there, or are you going to be shelling out?
There are free versions of all the games.
Okay.
Or there should be. If they haven't done it, they've done it wrong.
Right. These will be typically smaller things than an MMO, so perhaps we'll get a couple of different games from each week.
Yeah, they're smaller, they're more casual, usually they're not AAA titles,
no.
But if a game's fun, it's fun.
I mean,
something which I think we're really getting away from in the industry.
You think?
Yeah.
Overblown, elaborate.
We're getting obsessed with graphics, and it needs to fit on a 50-gig disc and fill it up because it's got all these fancy cutscenes
and
orchestrated music all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, this is something sort of the new world, I suppose, sort of reminded me of, is that certain modes of individual game, the actual game play itself does need to be an interesting and fun thing. And I was genuinely enjoying the moment-to-moment fighting in Sword of the New World. It's hectic, it was frantic, it was different, there were special keys going off and also generally quite powerful normal attacks, waves and so on. Very, very different and interesting. Perhaps part of the reason why Diablo 2 was such a phenomenal success was the immediacy and fun of the individual gameplay. Yes, it's a lot of clicking, but it's frantic, it's hectic and it's engaging. And you compare that to, I don't know, pick any old MMO at random, any Runes of Magic, where you just stand there and you wave arms at each other and you work through your little clocks on the toolbar and eventually one of you dies, you know.
Yeah.
Well, if the fighting itself isn't much fun, and to be fair, most MMO combat, the basics of minute-to-minute combat aren't that great, then what are you doing it all for? Is it some perceived thing at the very end, I can walk away and say I've won? I mean, Guild Wars individual combat is interesting and dynamic because you've got very immediate hands-on use of hotkeys that have conditional aspects and situational benefits and all the rest of it. But compare that to, I don't know, EverQuest, you know, whatever. Don't want to pick on any particular game. It's an endemic problem with the whole genre, the basic hotkey combat is a problem.
Well, it's something that Conan said it was going to try and attempt and did a tiny bit to try and failed.
Well, to a point. I mean, it was different and interesting, but it also caused a lot of resentment, and you know, a lot of people didn't like it. I mean, it's like we want the dull hotkey combat, and I don't know what else we're expecting to be the interesting bit. So perhaps that's echoes of your sentiments there.
The console MMOs are going to have to fix this, of course, because not that many buttons. You'll get a lot more combo-type combat.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, hitting AAB or triangle, triangle, square, whatever, to do your different attacks and have lots of attacks on that, like an awful lot of console games are at the moment.
Okay, then. So, right. So, next fortnight, then, I shall probably be... I think this time I'm going to pick a title off of the list, because there's a couple... I think I might go for Vanguard. Well, it's one I've been meaning to look at. I mean, that and Dark Age of Camelot in particular, too.
The reason for the whole...
I just feel like I've missed significant chapters in the primer to knowing lots about MMOs, you know. I think Vanguard is one, Dark Age of Camelot will be another, and I think Warhammer Online's another as well. Those three are ones I particularly need to, or feel that I need to have played to be able to speak with authority about MMOs in general. So yeah, I think I should be going with Vanguard Saga of Heroes. I can't remember what their tagline is. That's the one, isn't it?
I'm saying nothing.
Yeah, well, I'll have to check to make sure there is actually a free trial, but yes, I think that'll be the one I'll be trying to go for, and if not, I'll let people know on the blog or whatever. So 2 weeks in there and see what that's about. That was the sort of... It was supposed to be, back in the day, it was meant to recapture the original feel of EverQuest, to bring a bit of hardcore and depth back to a post-World
this
of Warcraft
may go
world.
Badly.
Well, yeah, but then there was all sorts of trouble with relaunch and release, and so the company went bankrupt, and I think Sony had taken it over, I can't remember now. But and there was all sorts of compromises made, and so it'd be interesting to see what sort of game is there now, bearing in mind that you've still got to appeal to people who like easy games as well as hard games if you want to get anywhere. It's noted for its diplomacy. They had it had in-game card game as a third way of doing combat. I don't know. I have to see. Don't know. I've just heard a lot about it, but not really seen for myself, so that's why I'm going to be remedying.
I await your conclusions with great anticipation.
Yes, well, we'll see in a fortnight's time. Okay, so in a fortnight's time,
I will find a couple of gems.
Find a couple of gems on the XMA
service.
And I will
do my bit to push forwards the selling of indie individual games and make the service a great place for everyone to go and find stuff.
Okay, a goal I thoroughly approve of. Okay, right, let's have a go at the Twitter question, shall we?
You're going to want the mouse.
Yeah.
That's where we get the clattering.
Usual organised studio. Okie dokie then. So, I've got to find the question.
Yeah.
There it is. Oh, he's already found it and everything. My finger's too sweaty to use the mouse wheel. Yeah. Okay, podcast question. Here we go. Holiday season, what game zone, map, city or hub would you take 2 weeks off of work to go loaf about in? Well, this is ahead of our big summer road show. Have we got some dates for that, by the way?
Yes.
Well, then do you want to do the thing?
On the 1st, we're going to be in Swanage.
Swanage, which is in Dorset.
And then the Saturday after...
Which is the 8th, I think. It will be, won't it? 8 plus 1 plus 7 is... 8, yes, 8th.
For that we'll be at the Chili Fiesta, last year.
The West Dean Chili Fiesta near Chichester, which is
in
Sussex.
Links in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put links in that. And
come along if you want to, don't if you don't.
Yeah, you get a chance to be
no
on the show.
No games there at all, it's just us.
It's just us getting the hell out and trying to get some sort of other interest.
I want to go to the beach next week and see fireworks, and then I want to go and buy chili stuff. So,
yeah, and you're all welcome to join us, but do get in touch via vanhemlock@chimpswithkeyboards.com if you want to sort out meeting points and times and things.
Or on Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter will work as well. I think we've got a few more after that as well, but we're still sort of arranging those. So yeah, but basically the next four shows are all going to be on location, we think.
Yes.
Anyway, so yes, all talk of beaches and distant places. Got me thinking
this
about holidays.
For all of August.
Yeah. Let's see. So Chemlack there is straight in with, in an MMO, Talos Island in City of Heroes. It's quite a nice place. It's sort of archipelago place with all sky rises on the individual islands, big long causeways. Some nice views. Other games, Neverwinter for an NWN. I loves me D&D, I does. Hey. Let's see. We've got... I can't read that from here. What's that? MJ UK? UKIS?
UKIS? You can have the mouse phones are over one of the letters. You can read it.
Easily Ruby Carver from Grim Fandango. I've not played Grim Fandango, have you?
I actually missed it when it first came out.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to have to do some research on that one, I think. Okay, there's Shuttler. I'd make campsites on Naboo in Star Wars Galaxies. Yes.
I like Naboo. Naboo
I used to
was
do
good.
That. And Endor. Yeah, I used to go camping on Endor. It was great. Take the little tent packs from my really quite low-ranking scout skill and just go wandering through the forest. Good stuff. Naboo's your big grassy plains there.
Yep.
And also a good spot because you didn't have like really, really hostile mega Ewoks stomping on you every 5 minutes. So perhaps yeah. Naboo's better. Dear Langer, oh, no question. Stranglethorn Vale, a zone that many people hate in World of Warcraft. Tropical beaches, swaying palms, raptors and pirates. What more could you want on holiday? Some of the World of Warcraft zones. I think I'd probably go with Tanaris, actually, as well, which is across the sea and the desert zone. Some good palm tree stuff there. That's also worth looking at. How about... That's a game question. All right, and how about one of you try the mobile MMO Tibia ME? Just want to know how it plays. That's from Phoenix Defire there. Have you got... Does that mean anything to you at all?
I've got no idea.
No, okay, fair enough. I'm not sure I can do mobile MMOs. Eric's Cho. Lotro's the Shire, of course.
Oh, yeah, that's a very peaceful...
A nice rural country holiday there. Lots of farming. Although WoW's Nagrand would be nice too. I think that's Outlands. I don't really know. Doesn't ring any bells.
I don't play these games.
Yes. Dr. Torag, pre-searing Ascalon for a camping trip and nightly evening barbecue. Hog roast on the weekends.
Actually, I quite like pre-searing Ascalon.
Do you even know what that is?
I know exactly what it's like in the pre-searing. I don't know what it's like post-searing.
Yeah, because you never got that far. No. Yeah, fair enough. That's the early sort of tutorial section. Very pastoral, picturesque, rural countryside. Very nice, and it makes it all that more horrific when the searing happens.
Yeah.
And I think a good reason for Eye of the North's success as well. The Char lands are basically pre-searing again.
Okay.
So there's just a chance for elder characters to get back to it all. Oh, the city in Thief Games would be a cool place to explore, assuming I could overcome my cowardice and lack of rope arrows from Unwise.
Rope arrows don't work, believe me, I've tried.
Yeah, so they seem quite improbable even in the situation there. But the city from Thief is a fantastic place. Yeah. Amazingly imagined. I mean,
it was a bit dank and... It was overwhelmingly dark.
It was oppressive. It was always night. I don't remember any daytime levels. And yeah, just the sort of overblown medieval metropolis of it all. And the fact that it didn't have a name, that was fantastic. I always liked that. Socialtron, I'd never play it though. Some Shan Yu. I think that was that weird porn MMO thing. Was
really?
It? I don't know.
I've quit MMOs at the wrong time.
Arbitrary Genius wants to holiday on Monkey Island. I have to say that right now.
Yes, I'd agree.
Everyone's playing Monkey Island at the moment, largely due to the Xbox, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Xbox and Telltale Games. It's a Monkey Island...
Monkey Island seems a bit harsh. I'd think probably Melee Island I'd probably be happier on, really.
That always seems a little bit rubbish.
let's see. Welsh Troll, Old Osher for the sun, St. Marshall for gambling, and Rivendell for the view. Osher was the old... island in Planetside that they got rid of to put the Battle Islands in, which few people liked that much. Yeah, it was a sort of deserty terrain sort of thing, very similar to Ishunda, which is still there. So let's see. And St. Marshall, I'm not sure we've even... It's a City of Villains zone, which is like all around, sort of a Las Vegas of the Rogue Isles.
Okay.
Sort of centred around this huge pyramid casino thing. It's quite cool. And Rivendell, everyone knows what Rivendell is. Copperbird says, Sigil from Planescape Torment. And I thought this was such a great idea, I changed my Twitter picture to suitably...
Any excuse to go Planescape Torment, isn't it?
Don't set me off, yeah. Best game ever. Yeah.
I changed my image as well.
Mm, yeah.
It's a better picture of...
It's the same image, yeah. One from Lotus there. Seems to be too much fighting in most game zones to make them relaxing. Maybe some random pond that I can fish in. Yeah, that's the trouble with holidaying in an MMO.
Yeah.
Some good city zones, though, and outposts. Guild Wars is a good example of just towns that look great, you know, that sort of thing. Shuttler again. Heaven for the weather, hell for the company. Very profound. We've got Arbitrary Genius. Or Neverhood, because I love the songs on the radio and because it's cool and plasticine-y. I don't even know what that is. Does that ring any bells?
I don't know, actually.
Right, another one for Wiki. Denozel. Backpacking through the Maguma jungle, only place I can imagine needing both sunscreen and galoshes. That's sort of midway through the Prophecies campaign on Guild Wars. Slugrino says Lothlorien in the Lotro looks like a nice getaway spot. Yeah, as long as you're not Koss. Apparently, by default, they'll kill you.
Yeah.
You have to do a whole load of faction grinding to get in there or something. I imagine we'll find out in due course.
Maybe.
God. Let's see. Anjin M. The Isle of Meditation Guildhall in Guild Wars. Beautiful, secluded, but close to the Great Temple if I need to see people. The Isle of Meditation. Ah, that's one of the Guild Hall maps. I think it's the Xingjie one that's all done out with, like, Japanese trellises and little bonsai pots and things. It's all very, very nice. We've got the Isle of Solitude instead, which is, like, based on the Vabian Persian style of stuff. So Mr. Chu says, any lush tropical island setting after all of the aliens, soldiers, mutants and vendors have been put on ice. Yeah, that's the trouble. There's very few places in modern MMOs to just have a nice walk, you know,
yeah.
To take in the scenery. There's always just constant hostile wildlife. And Ackley says...
You're missing the first message from that.
Where's Ackley? Where is he? Scroll.
Oh, you probably just use the... You have to scroll down on the... scroll to the right.
Yeah.
No, right. Other right.
Other right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, this is confusion with the tag again, is it? Nah. Boom.
Oh, no.
Oh, we lost it. Oh, dear. Sorry. Twitter technical difficulties there. Centag. Oh, who's got a picture now? Look. I might get sick of it after a week, but would visit Pocket D in City of Heroes during the Winter Holidays event. Oh, that's the old ski slope and chalet and everything in City of Heroes. Good stuff. So, Empire Total War map. By the time I'm done, Southern Europe still has the nice climate, but it is under the iron rule of London. So, going a bit global there. Don't like foreign places, so we'll make them English.
That's how the Victorians worked, wasn't it?
I thoroughly approve. Round Peg 77 says, I would say Lake Wraithtyr in EQ. Boating, fishing, and all-round good fun. Oh, yeah. That's going back a bit. Lake Wraithtyr, that's one of the original EverQuest zones. It is literally just a giant lake in this square zone with, like,
sounds very pleasant.
Cliffs all around the outside and islands with all sorts of adventure on them in the middle. Yeah, yeah, it's a quite interesting place. Quite off the beaten track as well. It took quite a bit to get there. Zona 21. Some place in WoW for sure, but I don't know how to choose. Read Warcraft RPG books, and some of the places seem quite exciting and nice. Oh, I don't know. Where would you go holidaying in World of Warcraft?
Sobaseki, Planet 2, Moon 6.
That's Eve, you fool. let's see. Best zone in World of Warcraft.
I don't know any.
I think Feralus. That might be good. A sort of jungly zone there with nice fishing.
Yeah.
It does actually. It had the special pools with the extra fish you could get. I think it was one of those zones. Let's see. And finally, Max Castillo. Podcast question, I'd go camping in Elwyn or pirating in Booty Bay. Yeah, more World of Warcraft as the top destination there. So we're looking for package holidays to Azeroth then.
Yeah,
we'll get on, get on the old teletext, see what they've got.
Yeah.
All right. So you want to do your whiteboard?
No, there's nothing on the whiteboard.
Nothing on the whiteboard. Looks like stuff on there to me. All right, no, fine. Nothing on the whiteboard.
It's just insults at you.
Yes. Yeah. So what did you learn this week?
I learnt to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
And I learnt that it's really not a good idea making a console game or review MMOs.
Or do an MMO podcast.
See you next time.
Goodbye.